As I said, we are breaking the chapter up into several parts. This month, I think it's just going to be broken into three parts. So we're picking up where we did last time on chapter 6, I think it is, called The Speaking Voice in the Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. We left off last week with the statement at the end of the paragraph says, "The tragedy is that our eternal welfare depends upon hearing, and we have trained our ears not to hear." So that's what we're picking up this week. And so if you can find that place, that's where I'm going to begin to read here. "This universal voice has ever sounded, and it has often troubled men, even when they did not understand the source of their fears. Could it be that this voice, distilling like a living mist upon the hearts of men, has been the undiscovered cause of the troubled conscience and the the longing for immortality confessed by millions since the dawn of recorded history? We need not fear to face up to this. The speaking voice is a fact. How men have reacted to it is for any observer to note. When God spoke out of heaven to our Lord, self-centered men who heard it explained it by natural causes. They said it thundered. The habit of explaining the voice by appeals to natural law is at the very root of modern science. In the living, breathing cosmos, there is a mysterious something too wonderful, too awful for any mind to understand. The believing man does not claim to understand. He falls upon his knees and whispers, 'God.' The man of earth kneels also, but not to worship. He kneels to examine, to search, to find out the cause and the how of things. Just now, we happen to be living in a secular age. Our thought habits are those of the scientist, not those of the worshiper. We are more likely to explain than to adore. 'It thundered,' we exclaim, and go on our earthly way. But still, the voice sounds and searches. The order and life of the world depend upon that voice, but men are mostly too busy or too stubborn to give attention. Every one of us has had experiences which we have not been able to explain, a sudden sense of loneliness or a feeling of wonder or awe in the face of the universal vastness. Or we have had a fleeting visitation of light like an illumination from another sun, giving us in a quick flash an assurance that we are from another world, that our origins are divine. What we saw there, or felt, or heard, may have been contrary to all that we have been taught in the schools and at wide variance with all our former beliefs and opinions. We were forced to suspend our acquired doubts while, for a moment, the clouds were rolled back and we saw and heard for ourselves. Explain such things as we will, I think that we have not been fair to the facts until we allow at least the possibility that such experiences may arise from the presence of God in the world and his persistent effort to communicate with mankind. Let us not dismiss such a hypothesis too flippantly. It is my own belief, and here I shall not feel bad if no one follows me, that every good and beautiful thing which man has produced in the world has been the result of his faulty and sin-blocked response to the creative voice sounding over the earth. The moral philosophers who dream their high dreams of virtue, the religious thinkers who speculate about God and immortality, the poets and artists who create out of common stuff pure and lasting beauty, how can we explain them? It is not enough to simply say it was genius. What then is genius? Can it be that a genius is a man haunted by the speaking voice, laboring and striving like one possessed to achieve ends which he only vaguely understands? That the great man may have missed God in his labors, that he may even have spoken or written against God, does not destroy the idea I'm advancing. God's redemptive revelation in the Holy Scriptures is necessary to saving faith and peace with God. Faith in a risen Savior is necessary if the vague stirrings towards immortality are to bring us to restful and satisfying communion with God. To me, this is a plausible explanation of all that is best out of Christ. But you can be a good Christian and not accept my thesis. The voice of God is a friendly voice. No one near fear to listen to it unless he has already made up his mind to resist it. The blood of Jesus has covered not only the human race but all creation as well. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, things in earth or things in heaven, we may safely preach a friendly heaven. The heavens as well as the earth are filled with the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. The perfect blood of atonement secures this forever. Whoever will listen will hear the speaking heaven. This is definitely not the hour when men take kindly to an exhortation to listen, for listening is not today a part of popular religion. We are at the opposite end of the pole from there. Religion has accepted the monstrous heresy that noise, sighs, activity, and bluster make a man dear to God. But we may take heart. To a people caught in the tempest of the last great conflict, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." And still he says it, as if he means to tell us that our strength and safety lie not in noise, but in silence. That's where we're stopping. Now, he talks about the stirring of man towards immortality, and I agree with that, but I took it towards another direction, and that is stirring towards immorality. So in your papers, you'll see that. I turn the word immortality into immorality. Even in man's striving towards immortality, there's the basis of it is immoral. I want you to spend some time with the questions that I put there. You divide into two groups, just two small groups, and work through the questions. Please be very open and talk with one another and work through them. There might be a place in the second question that you might have a question yourself. And if you do, you're welcome to get my attention, and I'll come in and maybe give you a little bit of guidance on that one.